What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Yes, we're going to start off talking about the debate last night. I don't really know if it was a debate, but it's kind of a debate. It was a forum. We'll call it a forum. Because they really couldn't go back and forth with each other. And by the way, that format really helped Donald Trump. It really did. So I got a lot of thoughts. I know you do too. So the phone lines are open. You want to weigh in on what you saw, what you've heard so far. If you did not watch, I watched it for you. You're welcome. And I have some sound bites. I'm sure you've heard a lot. Now, you know me. Oh, hang on a second. You know, after the debates, they always have the spin room where the people, the operatives and surrogates, they all kind of go into this one room and then they try to tell the media that you didn't just see this thing that happened or let me explain this other thing that happened, whatever. Now, the reports I got from early in the night, I don't know if it changed later in the night. I think Joe and Jill went and did some sort of I don't know, going up a hill, fetching a pail of water or something. But they went up and on a stage and they were like rocking it out. And Jill's like, you did very, very good. You answered all the questions. And it was, and then I started seeing tweets from people. Why isn't this Joe Biden the one in the debate? But what I saw from the reporting about the spin room was that they really didn't even send anybody down there. Because honestly, like, what can you say after you witnessed what we all witnessed last night? Although there was one person that came down there. I believe it was, it was Kevin Bacon of all people.
Remain calm. All is well. All is well.
Right. So I don't know what the problem is. Look, I was asked on Friday mornings. I joined the morning show up in Raleigh and Greensboro, and I talked with Casey O'Day, and he pointed out that President Biden and Dr. Jill, you call her Dr. Jill. That's a quote from Short Round. He's going to be in town. He's going to be speaking, I guess, in like another 20 minutes or so. And he's going to be in Raleigh, I should say. He's going to be in North Carolina. And I guess the point here is to just build on that momentum that he started last night. Right. And so Casey asked me, you know, what would I tell the president? If he's listening, what would I say to the president about what I saw? And I said, you did a fantastic job, Mr. President. You just keep doing what you're doing. Victory is assured, right? This is going to be a cakewalk for you. No problem at all. And I think some people thought I was, like, serious. But I kind of, like, okay, I'm not really serious. There's some sarcasm there. I am fluent in sarcasm. That is true. But my fear is that I'm watching a coup. And you know me. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I mean, there are conspiracies, no doubt. But I'm not I don't just gravitate towards conspiracies to explain things automatically. By the way, once you do that sort of thing, then you're prone to accept all sorts of conspiracy theories. I don't know why that is. I think it's something at the mindset, but whatever. But how do I square the reactions that I am seeing from people that I know are not stupid? I know they're not stupid. They use big words. So, like, I've seen interviews with these people. They write columns. And you can't do that unless maybe they're getting AI to do it all for them. But they're not stupid people. As Reagan said, they just know so much that isn't so. But I don't understand what you expected to see. People are like, oh, we thought it was going to be like his performance at the State of the Union. Have you seen all of his other appearances? He's got a lot of appearances where he slurs his way through the speeches. I have been doing a mock impression of Joe Biden for years. Literally his entire presidency, where I will make the joke of, you know, oh, President Joe Biden responded. Why do I do that? Why? Like, because it's obvious that that's how he behaves. And it's not his age. It's his cognitive ability. That's the problem. It doesn't get better. It only gets worse. The bad days outnumber the good days. People around him know this. They have known this. I know this because I see enough of him. So now I got to wonder, like, are you guys just willfully ignorant on this? Did you put on some blinders and you just don't want to see this stuff? How is it that you are supposed to be these, you know, people that are commenting on politics and campaigns and culture, and you don't recognize the very obvious thing in front of you? Well, of course, they must have recognized it, right? I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt here and say that they did recognize Joe Biden's declining cognitive abilities, in which case then you were gaslighting the American people. But now everything's changed because of last night. Now the panic has set in. Here's a sampling of the headlines. You got four different columns in the New York Times alone. President Biden is my friend. He must bow out of the race. Biden cannot go on like this. I'm hearing high anxiety from Democrats over Biden's debate performance. And President Biden, it's time to drop out. Here is the problem. Kamala Harris. This is the problem. Because she's the vice president, and if Joe Biden steps down as president, she becomes the president. And she is worse than he is. And she's not even 81 years old. She doesn't even have a couple of aneurysms in her past and a stutter and an age thing. She doesn't even have any of that going as by way of explanation for how terrible of a candidate and public speaker she is. Right, people quit her office. Like, there's been massive turnover in her campaign and on her staff. People just don't like her. She couldn't even carry her own state, right? She dropped out of the primary almost immediately. She called Joe Biden a racist and then took his VP nod, right? She's not a good campaigner, not a good candidate. But if Joe Biden steps down before the convention, then she would become president. And then obviously she's got to be the new nominee, right? Right, guys? Cue the cackle. They don't want her. Awkward. What to do? Well, you're going to have to try to swap her out somehow, right? Maybe you could make her president just for like the last 6 months, 7 months here. Be like, okay, Kamala, this is what's going to happen. You're going to go be president. He's going to step down, and then you're going to say you're not going to run for the presidency. How about that? You just be a placeholder, and we can get some new blood in there at the convention. You think she's going to go for that? Why would she go for that? I wouldn't go for that. So she's got them all twisted. By being so bad at her job, she's got her own party poobahs all jammed up. Oh, man, you hate to see it. But here's why I want President Biden to know that he did a fantastic job last night. Because if he doesn't make it, then we're probably going to have a Democrat president. Because the Democrats swap him out in the convention for democracy, of course. Don't let the people vote. They'll have the smoke-filled rooms. The people back there, they'll make that call. They'll put somebody else in there. I saw Gavin Newsom sent out, or somebody asked him what he thought of the performance. He said Joe Biden won that debate. And like that leads me to believe that Gavin Newsom is just as cognitively impaired as Joe Biden. So don't put him in place. But that guy, I don't know. I mean, people think that he's the future of the Democrat Party. We'll see. What to do? when you are planning a coup. That's like, I lean now more and more towards this. Because it doesn't make logical sense. You know me, I'm an Occam's razor kind of a guy, the most obvious explanation. So why would you ask for this debate? Why would you agree to all of these rules, which actually ended up helping Trump, I thought, right? Why would you do this? Why would you spend a week in preparation? So deep in the prep was Joe that he couldn't even come out and issue statements. He couldn't address the nation with all of the attacks on Jews out in Los Angeles, right? Didn't even come out and do anything for that. How could you not know? And what did you think was going to happen at this debate? You thought he was going to pull a State of the Union? You thought he was going to be able to perform like that? It's a totally different vibe, right? No teleprompter for starters. No audience. Nothing to feed off of. Nobody to give him the positive reinforcement that he needs because he gets confused, as he did last night all the time. By the way, the over-reliance on two words. Did you catch the two words that he kept saying last night? 33 times he said it in order to frame his thoughts. The idea. That's what he kept saying. Did you notice that? The idea. The idea. It was like, it's like a focusing reset kind of a word. And I wonder if that was part of the prep. By the way, whoever prepped him for last night, you should be fired. Get Donald, hire Donald Trump just for a day or two. Let him fire everybody because he's very good at that. That even came up in the debate last night, how he fires all these people. And he turned around and said, Joe, you don't ever fire anybody. And Trump was correct. For all of this stuff, the Afghanistan withdrawal debacle, nobody got fired for that. Like, how is that possible? How do you have all of these things happen and nobody ever gets fired?
Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
Sorry if I'm a little off today. I have a cold. I have a cold. I just remembered. It's a cold. And a stutter. Okay. 704-570-1110, 1-800-WBT-1110. We'll start with Bob. Hello, Bob. Welcome to the program.
Hey, T. How are you?
Hey, I am well. What's going on?
I was on my walk during the debate. I did watch the first couple of minutes. I just wanted to see what they looked like when they came out. But I was not surprised by anything that happened during the debate except for the fact that President Biden did not take his special presidential medicine before this thing. And didn't you mention a couple of days ago that there is it seems I remember you knew the name of this medication or elixir or whatever it is.
Well, there was an interview that Mick Mulvaney did with Bo and Beth on the morning show on Good Morning BT the other day, where he talked about a prescription drug that's called Provigil. And he said that he had taken it and it was, and it's in use. The military uses it and whatever. And so he says he knows it's in the White House medicine cabinet. And so he thinks it's fair to ask whether Joe Biden was on that. No, I don't know if Biden was taking anything. His performance last night indicates whatever it was not sufficient.
Well, I think that he was taking it during other very public appearances like State of the Union, some things like that. and I got a good conspiracy theory for you.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, Karine Jean-Pierre was asked what President Biden was doing in preparation of the debate. I believe this is right. I tried to find it again. And she said that he's eating Jenny's ice cream and something else. In other words, he's relaxed, good to go. So, in seeing all the pundits after it was over, that's when I was really surprised. And then it didn't take me long to determine that this was in concert. It wasn't like, well, the guys over at CNN are really bummed about it. Everybody in the world was bummed about it, like, kind of like it was a conspiracy. But here's the other part. So my theory is that they determined that this was the time that they were going to execute their plan.
Mm-hmm.
So they told Joe Biden, said, here you go, eat your special ice cream, and by 8:58, you will be feeling terrific. But this time, in furtherance of executing the plan, they didn't put the special medicine in the ice cream.
I don't even know if you need to get that elaborate with it, Bob. If he's in mental decline, it is obvious to, I think, any honest observer. He has been for years, and you just don't have to eat. If you know, rather than juice him up, you don't have to trick him. There's no need to, right?
But what if they tricked him in that he thought he was taking?
That's
the
possible.
Medicine?
Yeah, I mean, I guess,
but,
sure.
But how did it come? How did it come to be that on the most monumentous occasion of his long political career, he did not take his medicine?
That's assuming he takes stuff and he knows what he's taking, right? And look,
what
I don't
do
know,
think?
But I don't know. I have no idea.
By the way, my conspiracy theory is tongue in cheek, but there does seem to be something very odd about the fact that, you know, in other times when we expected him to stumble and bumble through a major event or speech or presentation, and he is seemingly lucid, if not maybe a little angry. And then here is this night that's going to define, so we think, is going to define the results of the election. And he's not aided by anything that I could see.
Well, I don't know. So, I don't know that, Bob. I appreciate the call and the weaving of the theory, but I don't know that. You don't know that. It's like, we don't know what he knew. We don't know if somebody like swapped something out or whatever, because he did get stronger as the debate went on. And so it's possible it didn't kick in until later on. Maybe they tried to time it or something. The other events that he participated in where he did better than we thought he would was he had a teleprompter. He had audiences. He tends to be low energy, kind of like Jeb Bush, in the more serene settings, one-on-one interviews and that sort of stuff. So yeah, I don't know. But I mean, anything is possible at this point. We're trying to search for answers as to how so many people could seemingly be so surprised, right? Here are a couple more headlines. Politico: Dems freak out over Biden's debate performance. Quote, Biden is toast. Biden's shaky debate performance has Democrats panicking, said the New York Times. Wall Street Journal: Democrats privately discuss replacing Biden on presidential ticket. Gallup: age issues working to Trump's advantage pre-debate. Here's a message from Peggy. I've been wondering if it behooves the Republicans to invoke the 25th Amendment ASAP. Yeah, that would mean Kamala as president, which is pretty nauseating, but it also kind of ties the Democrat Party's hands with regard to placing her at their convention or replacing her at the convention. It makes it messy for them, and the more mess for them, the better. In any event, we're going to see them excelling at democracy. Right? Right? All right, we got a couple Joes and a Rob on the line. Let's go to Joe number one. Hello, Joe. How are you? Joe? All righty. Well, we'll put you back on hold, and we'll go to Rob. Hello, Rob.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. I had a different perspective on all of this. My theory is that Joe was put in there just to keep Obama's agenda going. And I don't believe that he'll be replaced through all this, because as long as they can keep him standing upright, I think they're going to stay with him all the way, because he's the one, he's kept Obama's agenda going. Everything he's done is the same thing Obama did. And when the progressive, they needed progressives to get elected, they're beholden to them. So I think they're more interested in keeping the Obama's agenda going until the election. And then if he wins, I think they'll throw him to the wolves and they'll have Kamala in there, and she'll continue the same drumbeat as Obama and Biden have done.
So a couple things. Number one, you've got the election, right? If Joe stays in, then he has to win, right? Or else it's all for nothing,
yes.
Right? So he still
yep.
has to win. So there has to be a belief among the poobahs that Joe can still pull this out. And I don't know if they are confident that he can at this point. So that may force them to make a change somewhere along the line before the election. So this way you can get somebody in there. Now, to your point about Kamala Harris taking over, the problem with Kamala Harris, aside from the fact that she is an awful campaigner and not a very good public speaker, she's not persuasive, people don't really like her very much, working with her and stuff, is that she is her own person, right? And she is not in cognitive decline, and so that I can tell. I mean, any more so than she normally is. It's just kind of like a baseline, you know, cognitive. Anyway, is that she is going to be, just like anybody is going to be, in more of a position to push back on things that they may want to define for themselves as their legacy, right? If she ends up becoming the first female president, first black female president, then she may not be as interested in listening to the Obama cabal, right? As the Bidens are. I don't know. She may want to have different people around her, swap out a bunch of the senior staff, you know, stuff like that. So she becomes less manageable.
I think she's like Biden. They've never had an agenda of their own. I mean, you know, Biden was in there for 50 years, and what did he do? But he picked right up on Obama's when he became vice president and continued it. And to listen to Kamala, she has no independent ideas that I can recall, so I think they can manipulate her.
It's possible. No, it's possible. Rob, I appreciate the call. That is very possible. The benefit of Biden as president and vice president, as the VP, you got to go along with what the president says and does. Like you fall in line with your president. As the president, though, Joe Biden was in cognitive decline even back in 2020, right? He hid in the bunker, right? So the benefit of a Biden presidency at that point was that he was somebody that could peel away a demographic that was moving towards Trump, namely white working class Democrats. They were moving towards Trump. And so Biden comes along and I'm Lunch Pail Joe. I take the train from Scranton and all of that. And so he had a unique sort of biography there, as opposed to some of these other far more leftist and progressive Democrats that he was running against. Now, maybe that demographic is completely gone at this point. I don't know what the numbers look like for the Democrats. They don't look very good for Joe. And so at some point, you got to activate Operation Ripcord, you know? Let me go to Joe number two. Hello, Joe.
How you doing, Pete?
Good, man. What's up?
I wanted to comment on your. I love the term coup, because I think that's kind of accurate.
Yeah, like I don't like to use the word, but it does seem to be appropriate here.
Well, and wanted to point out, because I don't know about the tainted ice cream and you know, shorten him as happy medicine. But,
yeah.
I did. You know, I was curious, because I've always thought that there's going to be a fix in somehow to not put him up as the candidate for 24, because, you know, for the past 4 years, all the media, the majority of the mainstream media, they've covered for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and up until recently, the last thing we heard was from the press secretary that these are deep fakes and you can't trust what you see and all that baloney. So they've always covered for him, even though we all could see it with our own eyes. They schedule a debate earlier than ever before the convention, mm-hmm. which gives them flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
They prop him up there last night.
And real quick, to that last point, they go around the Presidential Debate Commission structure, right?
Yes.
They specifically went directly to CNN, and they laid out a list of terms. And if Trump was like, no, then they could use that against him. But if he said yes, then it would serve the purpose if this is their aim. Yeah,
exactly. But then last night I noticed, number one, all of the media defenders, they were in concert with finally coming to grips with what it was, whether it was Joy Reid or Van Jones. But everyone who had supported him sadly and reluctantly admitted finally, well, we've got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be extremely coordinated.
Mm-hmm.
And then something that, and I'm not sure if you've seen this, but it leaked out last night, and it's all over social media this morning. There's after the debate is over, Trump has left the stage, and it looks like a surveillance camera.
It was a zoom in. Yeah, the quality isn't great because it was a zoom in of a wide angle shot. But I know what you're talking about.
Jill walks him down off the.
Yep.
CNN controlled that environment and let that get out. To me, that's almost a little coordinated as well. I mean, this almost seems like old Uncle Joe was led up onto the altar for the final sacrifice here so they could make a new pick.
That right. Like at some point, all of the pieces of evidence point in a direction that leads you to that conclusion. And I don't.
Absolutely.
Right. I don't like the way it sounds, because then a whole bunch of other stuff has to have happened, too. Right. Like. That means it's way deeper. And now you got to start asking, well, who's involved and who knew and what did they know and when did they know it and all of those other questions.
And if it's that planned out and that scripted, then what's next is already scripted.
It's
just a matter of us figuring out, waiting for it. But yeah, the machine is it's a big, nasty thing out there.
Yeah. Joe, I appreciate the call, man.
Thanks, Pete.
All right, but Jill Biden, I'm gonna start calling her Dr. Jilson in honor of Edith Balling Gault Wilson, Woodrow Wilson's second wife, who effectively became president when Woodrow Wilson suffered the strokes. And she then didn't tell people how bad he was, how debilitated he was, and essentially was the president unelected. Dr. Jilson. I have a ton of emails, a ton of messages. I will try to get to all of them. But the first thing I need to say is, where does Special Counsel Robert Hur go to get his apology? There are a lot of people that owe Robert Hur an apology. He was the special counsel that sat for the long, hours-long interview with Joe Biden about him swiping all the classified documents, and he outlined how Biden had taken them. He possessed them. He moved them around. He did give them back. But he said he was not recommending charges, not because there wasn't evidence that Joe Biden broke the law, but that he would present to a jury as a, quote, sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory. And Joe Biden got very upset at that description. Came out and did that bizarre news conference where he was, you know, barking at Peter Ducey. I'm smart. I'm smart too. Like Fredo. Did not allay concerns. And that was what he was supposed to do last night. He was supposed to get on the stage and he was supposed to allay the concerns. He was supposed to blow up the fake narrative from the right-wing media sphere that Joe Biden is in cognitive decline, and he's totally not. Those clips that you've seen like every other day for the last 3 years, those are all cheap fakes, which isn't a deep fake, because if you say deep fake, that actually means something, right? A deep fake is a completely false constructed image or video. So they couldn't say it was that. So they came up with a term, cheap fake. Make it sound like deep fake. So it sounds like the same thing, but a cheap fake is like selective editing, which, by the way, all media does. Every single soundbite you ever hear or see in a news story is, by definition, selectively edited. I know. I still do it. I have audio clips that I'm going to play that I selectively edited. Otherwise, they would just be random audio clips starting off in the middle of a word, middle of a sentence, making no sense whatsoever. Yes, so you take the clip that you want to advance the story. But you can't watch that last night. You cannot watch clips of what occurred last night and not come to the conclusion that I have already come to, and I came to years ago, and most everybody that listens to conservative talk radio has already arrived at, not because I'm telling you that this is what's true and you shouldn't think for yourself. All I do is play the audio clips. And that you also see clips, you see video, you see news stories. It is clear. All you have to do, well, before last night, all you had to do was to go and pull video clips from the debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump 4 years ago. His decline has been obvious. And the fact that now I'm being treated to all of these people who are all of a sudden in unison saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe that he couldn't perform as well as we said he would. Really? Are you stupid? Or are you gaslighting me? And if you're gaslighting, that means that you did know, you've been lying. Well, then why would you do this debate? Why would you let him up there? Why did you let it get that far? What's the point of this performance now? And that takes us to some pretty dark spaces.
All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.